Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, January 12th. Colorado lawmakers opened the 2018 legislative session on Wednesday with the usual pomp and circumstance, and speeches from leaders. While there was talk of fixing highways, improving broadband, and creating more affordable housing, the cloud of sexual harassment allegations, first reported here, loomed heavy. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Black. That's the color that many people were wearing at the capitol as lawmakers gathered after a long break. Like the actors at the Golden Globes earlier this month, some lawmakers, lobbyists, and staffers wore black to show solidarity with the Me Too movement opposing sexual harassment in the workplace.
You know, it certainly has been part of almost every conversation I've had at town halls, you know, or with people that work within the building, kind of those pre-session discussions.
That's Democratic Senator Carrie Donovan of Vail. She was wearing a black and white t-shirt that read, "Stand Up for Women's Rights."
This is a building filled with leaders, and as leaders in this state and in the country, we've got to make sure that this dialogue stays at the forefront.
On opening day, three legislators face formal complaints of sexual harassment. Republican Senators Randy Baumgartner of Hot Sulphur Springs, Jack Tate of Centennial, and Democratic Representative Steve Lebsack of Thornton. All the formal complaints are currently pending. They all strongly deny any allegations of wrongdoing. Meanwhile, leaders in their own parties are investigating. It all began in November, when the Capitol's hallways were quiet. We first reported that nine people alleged Lebsack misbehaved with them. Two more have since come forward. Two filed formal complaints with leaders, prompting investigations. The first complaint came from a fellow Democrat, Representative Faith Winter.
The right thing has already happened because Faith spoke out.
That's former lobbyist Holly Terry. She filed the second complaint, accusing Lebsack of using vulgar language and unwanted sexual advances.
I hope that he's expelled. He's clearly not fit for office, and Faith should not have to work with him.
Lebsack made a preemptive strike against his accusers before the session began. He crafted a 28-page defense and put a copy in every House member's mailbox. He says the accusations against him are politically motivated, and it's, quote, a sad day that politics has become so dirty, even within his own party. He also included uncorroborated sexual details about two women who have filed formal complaints against him. Lebsack watched events from his seat in the legislature, even as fellow lawmakers were promising a resolution that could force him out of the legislature. Former aide Cassie Tanner spoke out against Lebsack. She was wearing black as she watched speeches as a guest on the House floor.
I've been on the House floor during opening day many, many times, and it's always been something I look forward to. Today, I'm dreading running into him.
There was a standing ovation as House Speaker Chrisanta Duran, a Democrat, called for a cultural change and said harassment wouldn't be tolerated.
We must confront these issues head on and successfully reform the culture of the Capitol.
House Minority Leader Patrick Neville, a Republican, took a more measured approach, even though he says he shares a sense of outrage when he hears about allegations.
But when accusations appear where the law is made, we must observe due process so that we fairly and objectively handle complaints and workplace issues.
The Capitol is set to hire an independent human resources person in the wake of the allegations. It's not yet clear what that role would be, but the person may take any formal complaints or investigations out of the hands of legislative leadership, which some see as a conflict of interest. However, there are lots of other issues lawmakers will be tackling, and the split legislature is heading into an election year. Lobbyist Ben Waters says while Colorado shows much more bipartisanship compared to the national level, he thinks it's going to be an unexpected session.
We have a number of members of the General Assembly running for higher office. We have a number of members of the General Assembly that are term limited. So we're going to end up losing a lot of institutional knowledge. But on the other side of it, we're also going to have a lot of unpredictable political dynamics playing out because of the roles that people are running for higher office.
Legislative leaders also gave a sense of the business to come. They outlined broad proposals to make housing more affordable, to put more money into roads. Republican Senate President Kevin Grantham says a transportation measure is the first bill of the session and a top priority.
This legislation will commit a portion of the forecasted revenue surplus year over year to to the tune of approximately $300 million and will refer a measure to the voters of Colorado this November, asking their permission to issue bonds on this commitment so that we can finally expand the I-25 gap from Monument to Castle Rock, so that we can finally expand I-25 north.
Yet the issue of the day did not escape him. He referenced sexual harassment allegations at the end of his speech, saying that the status quo isn't working and action should be taken as the legislature looks to improve its culture and gets to work in 2018. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And in a Friday sports story for you, it was number one versus number two in 2A wrestling last night when Cedar Edge visited North Fork Valley rival Paonia. While the top-ranked Bruins demonstrated their team depth and talent, it was the number two Eagles that prevailed 39-33 in a thrilling duel at the Paonia Gym. It was a back-and-forth battle throughout the duel. Paonia, always tough to beat at home, saw six grapplers win by pinfall: Sackett Chesnick, Clay Campbell, Anthony Felice, Jaden Miller, Anthony Miller, and Levi Peterson. Senior Caden Milner won the match of the night, a 9-7 overtime decision at 132 pounds that had the fans screaming and the house rocking. Paonia is led by first-year coach Nate Wiggins, who took over for Colorado wrestling legend Andy Pfeiffer after he retired. Wiggins talked with KVNF News and said he was pleased with the Eagles' effort.
I thought they came out and wrestled hard. I was impressed with how well they wrestled, and they couldn't have done any better. I mean, we won where we had to, you know. Oh, yeah, it's a big rivalry because, you know, we're number two and number one's coming into our house. You know, they're coming in here to beat us, and we don't like to get beat at all, let alone at home. So, we showed up big.
Cedar Edge had two winners by pinfall, senior True Jerome and senior Jared Hultin. Sean Dale, Colton Herr, and freshman Sam Campbell won by decision for the Bruins. Taj Vanderlind won by forfeit. Cedar Edge coach Cutter Garrison told KVNF News that he thinks this could be the year that the Bruins finish on top.
I do. I think our depth on the backside, we're a backdoor team. We're not going to be the front door team. We're not going to win the gold medals, but it's going to happen in the back door. We got a few horses to go win state championships, and then we're going to take care of the third, fourth place matches and pin our way through the back door and win a state championship. You know, I've built a program the last 3 years to where we finally can come in here and we can give the Paonia Eagles a duel. I felt it. I felt the emotion. I felt it go up and down. It's just like a roller coaster, and I felt the battle was great, I thought.
Paonia is at Vernal, Utah for a tournament this weekend, while Cedar Edge is at home tonight for a duel against number four-ranked Rocky Ford. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.